You are listening to the Captain Pappy podcast.
Welcome to the Captain Pappy podcast. This is Kendrick, and I'm here as always with the Captain. Captain, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good and looking forward to this podcast.
I am very looking forward to this podcast because I have to admit, I'm a bit of a pessimist sometimes, especially this time of year. When it's a little gray outside, the cold weather stuck around just a little bit too long, you got that cabin fever going on. I start to wonder, I start to ask myself, did Forrest Fenn really hide this treasure? So today we're going to be talking about possible motivations, possible reasons, as well as getting the captain's opinion as to if the treasure was ever out there and if it's still out there. And, you know, maybe what are some of those claims, those thoughts that people have put out there that are reasons where Fenn possibly just made this all up. So we're going to dive right in there. We're going to talk about this first one. And this is a common one. And this is, you know, I guess in some people's thinking, it's gentle, it's innocent. And that's the justification that Forrest would possibly have to just make all this up, go through the trouble of the poem, you know, show off some of his really neat possessions that he obviously has, but never really put them out there so that he could get people off the couch, get them outdoors, doing stuff as a family or being out in the wilderness. What do you think about that one, Captain? Is that a possibility?
Well, I think it is a possibility that he just would like to see people going out and doing things in the mountains with the family. But I think that would not be a good reason to put out a fake. Look at all the people who have spent quite a bit of money and time who are looking for a real treasure. They're not interested in just getting some exercise.
Not only time and money, but there's people that have risked their life and unfortunately have lost their life.
That's right. You know, you have the unfortunate situation with, I believe his name was Randy, who lost his life in the Rio Grande box down there, Rio Grande Gorge. And then you have a lady who spent the night, could have frozen herself to death in Bandelier National Monument. You have a gentleman over here at Turkey Creek in the Yellowstone, where they had to bring in a helicopter to rescue him from a cliff, and you know that wasn't cheap.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, according to the authorities in Yellowstone and in some other places across the country, it's not just been a couple instances in which people have been rescued. The reality is, you know, even in places we've searched, you're in true wilderness areas. The possibility of the treasure being hidden in the Rocky Mountains does not mean that it's just a safe walk in a, you know, a city park. You're going into true wilderness areas. You got animals, you got raging rivers, you've got danger. And I just can't say it exactly flies that Forrest would be justified, especially now after you know, lives have been lost and been risked, to say that it was just to justify getting people off the couch.
Oh, yes. And the danger there, even if you are 80 years old, I mean, you can still walk up too close to a bear and find yourself in a lot of trouble. Doesn't matter what age you are. And another thing is, I've seen some 80-year-olds. I took a Flora of New Mexico class, so this is a salute out to the professor over there at UNM. And I'm going to tell you, I was only about 30 when I was out there with him. And he would walk me under the, I mean, he would walk around. I had a very hard time staying up with him. So age isn't necessarily an indicator of where you can go and where you can't go.
So this first motivation, just justifying himself, making up this story to get people off the couch, I'm going to say it doesn't fly for me. I'm thinking you're on the same page.
Yeah, so I'm not out there because I needed to get off the couch. I was fine with where I was before I started this.
Well, and that's kind of an innocent enough reason, again, up into the point to where people have lost their lives, and a lot's been put on the line. Time, money, those resources, but of course, more importantly, you know, the value of a human life. I think if that was Forrest's ultimate motivation, he would have had to have cut it off by now to see kind of what it's turned into, especially to put people in such a dangerous area. So I think we'll call that one squashed. Moving to other reasons, I think Forrest has possibly some selfish reasons. We all know that reading Forrest's book and, you know, getting to know him a little bit, that there's definitely the word ego that is on the same page as the name Forrest Fenn. And I wonder sometimes, did Forrest come up with this hoax, you know, maybe a little bit more selfish, a little bit more of a darker intent but just so that he could be remembered, so that he could be part of, you know, Western history, have Boy Scouts 40 years from now telling stories about a treasure that could be hidden right in the hills behind them. What do you think about that one, that Forrest Fenn just wanted to be remembered?
Well, that could be very likely. And when you think about the reason that he gave originally, he said that somebody said, well, you know, you can't take it with you. And Forrest, I guess, being that kind of guy, which I am a little bit too. And that, what I mean by that is, you're not going to tell me what I can and what I cannot do. And this is what started it from his own things that I've read, where, oh, yeah, you don't think I can take this with me? Watch me. So he was talking about, as you know, having cancer and having to get through it, and maybe he wasn't going to live through it, and him taking this chest and then dying with the chest. Supposedly in the beginning, the poem ended with a line something like, take the chest but leave my bones, which suggests that he was going to be die out there with it. So he was trying to figure out a way to take it with him. And that brings me to an important point. How could you really take it with you just because you died next to it? That wouldn't do it. But, you know, if you became part of a legend that went on for hundreds of years, just as you're saying, shared by the Boy Scouts around a campfire, then maybe your treasure does live on and maybe you do have it.
So if I'm understanding you, you're alluding to this could also be a reason why he actually did hide it out there as well, was to be able to get that notoriety. Whether he made it up just to get his name out there and still secretly kept the treasure in his own possession. But you're also saying it also could be a reason that it is really out there as well.
Well, look at it this way. Looking down from heaven, think if we found out it was a fake and now his legend is the legend of a man who doesn't tell the truth and is faking out the public and was responsible for a man's death and so forth? It would just be awful, I would think. I can't see why he would want that to happen. So, yes, I think this is a reason for him doing it and doing it the right way. And I don't see that he's responsible for people being silly. He's warned and warned and warned, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, especially in the winter. Don't go into dangerous places and so forth. People do need to take some responsibility for their own actions.
I agree with you that he does value that name. And I also do feel that, you know, he put the treasure out there so that he would get his name put in the annals of history, but also in a positive way, as you mentioned. That name is very valuable to him. There was a report at one time in which he was very frustrated, perhaps a little upset, upon doing a Google search of his father's name and only getting one return. And I think we can definitely say now today that if you did a Google search of Forrest Fenn's name, you would get, you know, probably hundreds of thousands of hits on different websites and blogs and, you know, across the internet. He's definitely achieved that purpose, whether he hid the treasure or not. But again, if we were to find out that it was false and it never was hidden, I think it would tarnish his name across history. And I don't think that's something he wants.
Oh, absolutely. He's also, you know, let's look at his background. He's got a really interesting background. One of the things that he was a Air Force fighter pilot, and he'd gone on a lot of missions in Vietnam and won a lot of medals for bravery and honor. And I can't see why a guy like that would sacrifice and lie to get 15 minutes of glory on some Google page that says, "Ooh, I might have written, you know, hidden the treasure." So it just doesn't make sense for somebody who's a real true hero to turn around and then lie to the public.
Well, and another thing that Forrest is he's, you know, he's very well versed in the history of both the cultures and of, you know, the past of the Western United States. And I think that's something he'd want to be a part of. I mean, he's actively involved in the museum in Cody. And that could also be something that the treasure could tie into, was, you know, maybe finding a home someday at that museum. I'm sure Forrest would enjoy that.
Well, you know, we've talked about that ourselves, and to beat the taxes and so forth, it would be very interesting if we could get a group of people to pay us for, say, half of the treasure, and then let us donate the entire what's left over to Cody, the Wild Bill Cody Museum, to give them the whole treasure, and us to get about half of it tax-free.
Oh, exactly. You know, we've wondered if, you know, perhaps the instructions with the treasure are, you know, something along those lines to where it could go on display. I know that if somebody else found the treasure and it ever ended up, you know, at perhaps that museum, I would definitely go and take a look at it. And it would be a big boon for the museum. It would solidify Forrest's name, you know, in history, both, you know, current as well as in the future. So that's definitely a possibility. Speaking of the museum, though, and other financial involvements that Forrest has, another selfish reason that people have put out there as to why Forrest could have possibly just made up this all as a hoax is, you know, to make money selling books, bring more information to his art gallery and his sales there. What do you think about that motivation, Captain, that this is just a hoax to generate more money for a greedy old coot?
Well, I guess even after what I'm going to tell us here, that you could still say, well, he might make some money from this. But let's take a real look at that. First off, his gallery is closed, so he's not going to be drawing more people to his gallery. In fact, I didn't realize it was closed back almost 6 years ago, and I went up to visit it, and it's gone. It's sold to someone else. The other thing is that he gives most of the proceeds to a bookstore that was close to the square right there in Santa Fe. I guess they were having a little trouble staying open. And that money is going, much of the book sales money is going to them to help them keep open. And finally, anything else is going towards cancer research. So he's not taking a penny from the book itself. Now, true, he wrote a second book later, but that one he said doesn't have any hints in it. There's no reason to buy that book as far as the treasure is concerned. So everything he did specifically to the treasure, he's not getting anything from.
Well, and one thing I wonder about too, and I'm going to lean on your expertise here. My understanding, even, you know, even of the original book, The Thrill of the Chase, that he published, it's really tough to come by right now, right? There was only a limited amount of editions that were put out there, and they were only sold, you know, I think at, you know, maybe one location, maybe a few more. If he was really trying to generate money, now you'd think this would be for sale all over the place, you know, and that he would keep printing out until people quit buying just so that he could generate more income. It seems like these things were definitely fixed. Small publishing groups, and when they're gone, they're gone. Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, now I'm not sure about just how limited the printing will be, but you're right. He didn't print a whole lot in the beginning, and I think he's surprised by the demand. And you're also right in assuming there's only one place you can get it, which is that bookstore in Santa Fe. And you can maybe pick it up somewhere
secondhand.
Now, you know, I offered that book. I bought two of them. One of them signed, and I offered the first one I bought to KUNM for them. That's a New Mexico public service radio, so they can make some money. And they bid it off that with a map that I thought might show people where the treasure is. And I believe it sold for about $75. So the second selling of the book wasn't bad.
Oh, and you hear on the secondary market right now, it's not a cheap find buying it secondhand from somebody and getting them brand new. I don't know what the availability is right now at this time. So I think we can call that one squash too. If Forrest really wanted to make money on this and as talented as a businessman as we know he is, he probably wouldn't be doing limited prints and limited availability. He'd be really mass marketing, and we'd probably have Forrest Fenn keychains and T-shirts and all the extra junk too. And it seems like Forrest has been content to kind of let other people do stuff on the web and not really, you know, trademark his name and make sure he gets a cut of everything that comes of it.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. He hasn't shown any interest in that. And he would have made money. Come on, he didn't have to give all the proceeds of the book to somebody else just to prove that that's not why he did it, you know, that he was trying to make a buck. And the man has money. So that's not his motivation. I think to understand his motivation, you have to understand how connected he really is with history and artifacts and so forth. You know, he's one of the, not directors, I'm not sure the name, I apologize for that, but he's on a board over there in the Wild Bill Cody Museum, for example.
Yeah, right in Cody, Wyoming. You've been to the museum?
I have. It's wonderful. And he and his wife dedicated the Eric Sloan cabin over there. And there's an actual cabin where you can see how people lived and what these things look like. And that cost him a pretty penny, I'm sure, to have that uprooted and taken all the way over to Cody and put there. So he's big on this. He's very big on this. I just can't see him tarnishing all that over a stupid idea of faking a bunch of people out.
Well, and as you mentioned before, all that history that he's definitely interested in advocating and curating, he'd love to be a part of it. So I think these reasons that we've talked about so far as my opinion and the captain's opinion goes, we're gonna call those squashed. But coming up here after the break, I do have some darker motivations and opinions from people out there as to why Forrest maybe could have made this up. So we'll get to those right after the break.
Welcome to the Kindred and Captain Pappy Podcast, the place where the dogs of the chase. This is the part of our show that we like to do comments from people who have written in to CaptainPappy.com. That's CaptainPappy.com. So we're going to get to that, and staying with the theme, we're going to try to find some of our comments and read them to you. That have people who really do not believe that Forrest Fenn hid his treasure. Here is a quote from Linda Ballou, the ex-wife of Randy Ballou, who lost his life in the Rio Grande Gorge while searching for Fenn's treasure. She believes his treasure is a hoax. In her words, Randy lost his life for nothing. Linda was asked if the law enforcement agencies had expressed doubt about the treasure. And Linda replied, quote, "That information I can't share at this time, since Randy's case is still under investigation. Also, there might be foul play, and that hasn't been ruled out." Here's a great comment. "Let me save you some trouble. The treasure is at a green burial site in New Mexico at the Basin Preserve." This is by someone who called themselves JoJo, April 19th, 2015. "Forrest Fenn bought a piece of land there for his whole family to rest there. No grave markers, only his treasure box upside down in the ground, where he will be turning brown, waters halt, when he dies. We are 90% water. Forrest Fenn is the blaze. And the box says, 'Go in peace.' That's his grave marker. It's just the right size marker allowed at the green burial, 10 by 10. It's not too far to walk because you're carried to your spot to be laid to rest. It's written on the bottom of the chest, so there you have it. I can't get there, so remember me and share some of the treasure if you find it." So that's a pretty good one, huh? Finally, New Mexico Tourism Cabinet Secretary Designate Rebecca Latham said, "Fenn has long maintained the treasure chest actually exists, but it's been hotly debated. One woman from North Carolina claims she solved Fenn's poem, saying it's about a spiritual journey, not material riches." Latham said, "They don't know if it's real, but they're going to keep on going on Forrest Fenn's word." So that's the end of our piece here on comments. If you have a comment, please send it, and we'll read it right here. Kendrick and Captain Pappy's podcast.
Okay, Captain, before the break, we were talking about some reasons, some motivations as to why Forrest could have hid the treasure. And those are, you know, possibly believable. But as far as our opinions were concerned, we said probably no. What I have for us now, though, are some more dark, you know, sinister ideas that we've heard from other people. And, you know, I, as a pessimist, maybe question myself. And some of these don't paint Forrest as a saint. And we know that there's some people that have, you know, aren't fans of Forrest, and definitely don't want him portrayed as a saint. One of the reasons I'm talking about specifically is, you know, did Forrest either make up that he hid the treasure, or did he actually even hide the treasure just to get the treasure out of his possession, just to get, you know, the feds off of his back? There's definitely the possibility. I can't say the facts of Forrest's involvement, but in FBI and BLM stings back in 2009, looking for people that had been actively grave robbing or were in illegal possession of artifacts. And there's some people that said that, that Forrest could have been one of those characters.
Well, there you go. Now, I hadn't heard you say this quite this the way you just did, so I want to back up a minute, and I believe you said 2009. See, one of the interesting things is that we're not sure when Forrest went out and hid this treasure, but we know it was either 2009, which is very interesting, or 2010. Another thing that, that I've noticed is in the pictures, they're not always, this item is not in all the pictures, but in the last pictures that were taken, or I think they were chronologically taken, there's a frog, as you know, a frog fetish.
Which, oh, yeah.
Kendrick was saying, whatever we do, we got to keep that fetish. And I don't blame him. And I believe he even said something about it being 1,800 years old or something.
Yeah, you just don't find those laying on the ground.
No. Plus, you find those in Peru, I believe. If that's true, and it may not be, you can't take those out of the country. So there's an example of a possibility of an item in the chest that's not going to be one that you can easily sell, and possibly you could be in trouble for even possessing.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Forrest, for whatever and through whatever means, has an incredible collection, both art that he sold, artifacts that he, you know, sold to people for decor, but also within his own personal collection, whether those are part of the treasure or not. And, you know, as I mentioned, the means in which he came into possession of those items. 2009 was when there was a well-known and a well-reported investigation, but we know those have been ongoing. And I think you even said, you know, as you grew up in New Mexico and in that area, you heard about, you know, people coming from other parts and just bulldozing the landscape looking for, you know, artifacts.
Well, this is true. There was some people getting in a lot of trouble for that, I had heard. And I also heard that they were coming in from out of state to New Mexico and doing these things, possibly in other states too, maybe Arizona. And here's the thing. Forrest had the opportunity as a fighter pilot to practice when he is back in the United States and to fly over these areas as he was stationed, I believe, out in that direction in the southwest. And then he could see these things on the ground. If you train yourself, you'll see straight lines and curved lines that would be man-made and wouldn't be there just naturally.
Oh, you hear about, you know, they're finding all sorts of things across the Amazon using drones and, you know, aerial photography to find those, you know, unnatural, you know, 90-degree angles and those types of things today. So you're saying that's kind of maybe a means that Forrest used to find some of the artifacts in the lands that he wanted to purchase?
That's right. And even the mustard weed will grow in these kind of lime-like areas that would be there because of adobe or something like that, you know, making the soil different. So they're not that hard to see from the air. And rumor has it that when he would spot these, he would jot down their locations, send this out to his partners, who would then go out and raid these areas.
Yeah, and when they would raid these areas, I guess, you know, there's even reports of people that maybe had previously worked with Forrest that they wouldn't leave anything behind.
Well, you know, he even says that in his book, that his dad encouraged him to take everything. And so the people that quit working with him, some of them anyway, said that they would, you know, they quit working with him over this. So that's a big problem. Also, I think it's important to understand that he doesn't have a big whole lot of respect for the government itself or their regulations or rules. And I believe that I'm right when I say that. So this started back in Vietnam. I think he was kind of disappointed in that situation when he got back home. And I don't think that he regards that as a problem going on to any land and finding anything and taking it.
Well, and there's, you know, a lot of people that have taken that opinion is, you know, either I'm the one that's going to go and take it or the government's going to take it. Someone's going to get their hands on it, so I might as well enjoy it.
Sure. We're not going to get into politics on this show, and so we'll avoid that. But I can see it either way. If he was there and he found some things that were really neat and he wanted to bring them back and let the other people see them and share them, what the heck? Hey, that's what he's doing with this treasure, right?
Well, you know, what's interesting is we've discussed some of these reasons and motivations as to why it could have been a hoax. I kind of see most of them as reasons as to why Forrest could have actually hid the treasure. You know, even this one, you know, that doesn't paint him in a positive light and kind of a scoundrel. It's also a motivation to say, yeah, I am going to go take all my goodies that I don't want the FBI or the BLM to know that I have and put them out there in a place where if they want to find them, they can read the poem and find it just like anybody else.
Hey, I want to be the first to say I'm not making any judgments on this. I don't think anything either way of this kind of thing. Indiana Jones, go watch the movie. I don't think he went and got permission to go anywhere. And maybe that's part of being an adventurer. You just go, you see what happens. You try to take advantage of situations. And as you saw, they were scoundrels. He was a scoundrel, and yet we love to watch those movies.
Oh, exactly. And the other thing is we're talking about possibilities. We're not talking about facts. But we don't know for sure. We don't know what's on Forrest's conscience. But we do know from reading his books and getting to know him a little bit that he does definitely have a chip on his shoulder, whether it's just for general authority growing up in school, you know, taking direction from teachers and authority of figures. Even though I think his dad was a principal, maybe, and I don't know if that has any role in it, but through the military and just everything else in his life, he questions his authority, and he's probably not a guy that has a problem jumping into a few gray areas. He embellishes things and he pushes the truth to its limits, one way or the other. And with that chip on the shoulder, another motivation that people have put out there that's possibly related to some of these others. Is that maybe Forrest just wanted to do a little screw you to the government and say maybe I did hide something on Yellowstone, and guess what, you park rangers and you Department of the Interior folks, you're gonna enjoy all these people showing up with shovels and pickaxes and metal detectors running all over your national parks digging holes.
Oh yeah, he started a circus out there. There's no doubt. I actually heard tales that their visitor numbers doubled over these last few years, and no doubt it's people trying to go in there and find things. Some of the people were very upset. The head of the Yellowstone, the ranger who was the head of the Yellowstone Park there, was very upset and was complaining a lot, but he's not there anymore, so that's interesting too. They got somebody new. And absolutely, he doesn't have regard for that kind of thing. And, I could see why. It's of the people, by the people, and for the people. And the park says for the people. And so maybe he's saying, well, for the people. I'm going to do something for them, and I don't care what you guys think.
Yeah, and, I think the to some degree, the parks, especially Yellowstone, has had to kind of acquiesce a little bit. Even on their webpage now, there is a section that talks about, is Forrest Fenn's treasure here? And they talk about some of the do's and don'ts that you need to be aware of for looking for it. Countless people have also put out their speculation as, if I did find the treasure actually on, federal lands, whose treasure is it really at that point? And would Forrest risk, putting the treasure in the federal government's property?
Well, I'm going to admit to something. I was coming back from Pebble Creek, and that area. And on the way back, there was a part where because I was at that time by myself and was trying to be very careful, I sat down and kind of scooted along the ground so that I could definitely avoid a fall. Anyway, when I got back to the car and then eventually got to one of the places where you could eat, the cafeteria kind of system over there by Garden City, still in the park, I came to the dreadful realization that my wallet was no longer with me.
Uh-huh.
Now, I had to go all the way back to Pebble Creek, hope that I had enough gas, because, mind you, I had no money, and go back on the trail into Pebble Creek, and thank goodness nobody had gone there since I had left, and I picked up my wallet. Now, do you suppose I would have had to go through the federal government to reclaim something that was mine that I had left? Isn't that something like what Forrest Fenn could say he's done?
That would be a interesting scenario to say, you know, I need to check your lost and found for my treasure. Thank you for finding this for me.
Oh, I think that's a clue. We haven't done that one yet.
No, that's definitely could provide for an interesting scenario. Thank you for finding, you know, just as you lost your wallet. I was hiking along and I just accidentally dumped out a bronze case full of gold and jewels and all these things that'll blow your mind.
Yeah, I think we have a good story anyway when we do find it.
That's for sure. Well, coming up here after this break, Captain, we're going to get your final thoughts and opinions related to, do you feel the treasure is still out there? And is it worthy of our time and effort? We'll get back to you here in just a few moments. Okay, Captain, to wrap up this episode, I kind of want to get to know your opinion. We've talked about lots of reasons today, motivations as to why this whole thing could just be a hoax and why we shouldn't waste our time with it. What do you think? You know, after 6 going on 7 years of searching, are you still committed? Are you still believing it's out there?
Well, first I want to say this. This is important to me. Nobody is perfect. No person is all righteous. Maybe Jesus and a few religious figures like that. Take those aside. Nobody is. We all have our ups, downs, dark sides, and good sides. So that said, hey, Forrest, you're a cool guy. You're a hero, war hero. And you went and did something for the public, and I appreciate you. Now, I believe that it's out there, and I don't think that it's been found. And the reason I could say that, a couple of reasons quickly. One is he has a lot of facts, and he's like very, very rare does he go against anything that you might have heard before. That's hard to do. Try it. You know, once you start lying, you got a lot of problems keeping the lies going. That's one. Two, he's a really cool guy. He's got a lot to be proud of, and he didn't need to go stash that out there just to get high on some stupid thing like that. And finally, three, the reason I think that it's not found is people would be foolish to try to go black market with this stuff. They'll get a tenth of what it's worth. Seriously, the amount of gold and so forth is not enough to be worth only, you know, maybe a few $100,000, not even close to $1 million. But it could be worth maybe $4 million if you were able to do this right, the right way, because these are valuable items, which you couldn't sell like that. You understand you couldn't sell them as unique, valuable items if you go black market.
Well, and I think there's even a value attached to it now that it was actually Forrest Fenn's treasure. You know, keeping it together as opposed to separating it or, you know, breaking it up otherwise, or just selling gold for the spot price of gold.
Right.
You know, whole nuggets, certain coins that have value beyond just the spot price of gold. You know, you're not going to get your value's worth.
No. So you'd be throwing away a lot of money. And I also feel that there's something tied into this chest that is going to be indicated to you. You're going to figure this out, and you're going to want to talk to Forrest. I think this is why Forrest's so sure that he'll know when it's found. He says a person can't keep it quiet, like they're going to brag that they found it. Well, Forrest, that would be me, unfortunately. But there are people who could be quiet. However, those people would lose a lot of money, and that's not something anybody wants to do. So bottom line for Captain Pappy, I'm going to keep looking.
Yeah, and I do have one more question for you, Captain. When you find the treasure, will you give Forrest his bracelet back?
When I find it, I'm going to wear Forrest's bracelet on my wrist at the La Fonda Hotel until he comes by and asks for it, and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, you know, somebody there around town will recognize and say, hey, there's somebody down the street wearing your bracelet.
That's it.
That's the guy you want to talk to. Well, thank you for that opinion, Captain. We're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode by telling you about our next upcoming episode, where the Captain and I are going to be going into detail about a very promising location that we visited that actually just had too many places to hide the treasure for us to be able to search in alone. So it's an exciting tale. It's a wonderful solve with a lot of intricate histories that tie back to Forrest, and a very, bizarre location, you know, an interesting part of the park that very few people have been to there in Yellowstone. And we'll also talk about the possibility of how some of you could maybe come help and join and be manpower to help us look in some of these spots. So with that, we look forward to your comments, look forward to your feedback. And until then, mind the bears and keep out of Forrest's backyard.
Oh, hey, how about liking us?